my stuff ready. I'm being modern today. I'm sharing from my cell phone. No papers. Sure, what a wonderful time of worship we've had. It's just such a privilege. And I just even from this morning since we've been here, it's just been a sense of God wanting to do a work in our hearts. And just around something that He's doing in our midst as Josh Chen, and not just individuals, but it's something that He's got in His heart for us. So on Wednesday, just starting with the elders camp, the topic for us as a group of churches has been intimacy with God. Because I mean, so easily we can grow and look at what numbers we are, but ultimately it's about connecting with God and making sure each one of our members and each one of us connects with God. Because if we don't have that, we've got nothing. And even on Wednesday, there was a prophetic word about God blowing off the dust and just coming back to our first love, which is Jesus. And even this morning, that's what I want to share about. But specifically, I want to share the topic of my message is communities of grace. And I want to specifically share about how I believe we can position ourselves to receive God's love. Because I hear it in our songs, we love God. And I believe every single person here, you're not here because you want to love God and we want to walk close with Him. There's a desire in our heart. And then why is it that sometimes we find ourselves that we're not close to God? And I find it in my own life. You look back at a time when you were closer to God, when you felt His Spirit, and then when we look again, somehow we've lost some of that. And I believe this morning is just aimed at that and just positioning ourselves at being able to receive from God and receive His grace and His love. And the first thing I want to start by saying is that fellowship and grace that we receive from Lord Jesus is a community we enter. It's joining a group of people. And the first group of people we join is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have got the right to enter into fellowship. So if you can just put up that scripture, Matthew 1:23. Okay, I'll read it if it's not on. Matthew 1:23 says, "A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." So Adam and Eve walked in the garden. They walked with God. They had fellowship with Him. They could speak to Him. And that was lost through sin. Eventually, sin became more abundant on earth. And God said, "My Spirit will not dwell with man anymore." And He withdrew to a large extent. And then started the reconciliation process through the prophets, eventually through Jesus. But the reason Jesus was sent was to restore that relationship, God with us. And just so we've got it straight, it's not, yes, it's going to be to a fuller extent one day when we get to heaven. We're going to see Jesus, we're going to see Father God. But it was meant for now. It's not meant for one day, it's meant for now. And many of us find myself walking and thinking, yeah, one day when I see Him, we can have a relationship with Him now, God with us on earth. That was it. It's through the Holy Spirit, and it's not the same way that it's going to be, but we enter a community, and that's through grace, okay, because of what Jesus did. The next community that we enter a community of His people. John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So how did Jesus love us? He loved us through grace. He came and He paid the full price for us. Let me give you the definition of grace, the theoretical one, which I think most of us know. It's God's undeserved, unearned, unending love for us and acceptance of us, coupled with His delight in us, wholehearted adoption into God's family, new identity, life, power, protection. So again, this is that grace which He extends to us. It's not something we're going to enter into in heaven. We've entered into it now already. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I find my mindset like this. God has paid the price for me. He's forgiven. I'm actually holy, but He's pretty disappointed in me. So I can sit there in the corner and there's this hindrance of getting to God. I know He's paid the price. But it's almost like, you know, when David and Absalom, when he brought him back from exile, and then he brought him back, but he never visited him. And Absalom went mad. He lit I think he set some people's places alight just to get the attention of his father, because that's cruelty. You know, sort of putting your son in a corner and say, I've forgiven you, but my actions don't speak it. So I want to say to you, God has not only forgiven us, he's not putting us in the naughty corner. He has absolute delight in us. And that's something that we need to get our hearts across, because it's not something on God's side, it's something on my side, which I've got to say, God, you delight in us. So the next thing is, I'll go into more detail about that, but I want to build some arguments and then show how we what we need to look at if we want to enter this grace. The next one is trust. Communities of grace and trust open the door for gaining permission to share truth among fellow believers and an unbelieving world. So if there's no trust, if I enter a community, there's no trust, whether it be with God, whether it be this side, because I'm going to talk all the time, I'm going to talk like this, which meaning our relationship with God, and like this, our relationship with one another. If we enter a relationship and there's no trust, there won't be a sharing of truths. There's no way. There'll be grace. I can enter into the grace, and God extends his grace. But he can only share truth with us as much as we trust him. And the same goes with one another, yeah. So trust is actually one of the verbs, trust, believe, and hope, that form the word faith. So we need trust to be able to, for Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So we need trust. So that's the next thing we need. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but when I started dating Nelly, and those who are married, you'll know that when you start dating, I don't really trust her that much anymore. So I put my best foot in front, the one with the shiny shoe. Afrikaans, we say the blinkant boer. And that's because I don't trust her yet. I don't trust her to love the not-so-nice parts of me. So I just show the nice parts of me. So when we started dating, she mentioned it yesterday, and again, it's her birthday today, so we're gonna put the best side forward today. But when we started dating, she said, you remember how you took me to this restaurant, and remember you bought me this ring? So there was a lot of that, because I was worrying her, and I couldn't trust her to not love the not-so-lovable part of me. But we've been married for 21 years now, and going on for 22 shortly. And the one thing I always say, we've got a much better marriage than what we had initially. And it's because there's trust. I'm now into this relationship with both feet. She's seen my good foot and my bad foot. And that's only happened because there was trust. And in the same way, when we enter into a relationship with God, he doesn't just want to see our good foot. He wants us to enter in with both feet. Because to the extent to which you can trust God and trust one another, that's the only extent to which we will receive God's love and love from one another. So why would I wear masks? Why would I wear a mask when I enter into this relationship with God? And why would I wear a mask in this relationship with my fellow believers? Mask we wear when we don't want to enter a community or feel we can't be ourselves in the community. So if I've got to pretend to be someone else, then obviously I think the rules are somewhat different, because if I don't wear this mask, I won't fit into this community. So one of the biggest hindrances we have and why we want to wear these things, especially with our relationship to God, is because we still have an old covenant mindset. Now, if you've struggled with what is still relevant today in the old covenant and what's relevant in the new covenant, I think there's an easy way to just think of it. Think of it as two different systems. The old covenant is a system where you had to prove or earn your ability to enter this community. So in other words, I had to do these commandments and do the sacrifice, and then I could enter once a year. I could have the high priest enter God's presence because of these sacrifices. The new covenant says Jesus has done it all. He's given it to us through grace. So we enter by grace. So it's a different way of entering. We enter by grace, but we still think somehow I've got to put up the show that I can earn being in there. And that's when we can't enter. That's when we start relying on our deeds and not on God's grace. Because I want to tell you, the only reason why I'm here is God's grace. The only reason why I can serve him today is God's grace. Not because of what I've done and what I've done. So if we look at 1 John 1:5-10, I just want to just pull this principle through to our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. So he forgives our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's very clear that if we want to have fellowship with God and one another, we can't do it while living with masks and living in the dark. So we need to confess our sins. But it's not a nice thing. So the reason, the mentality, when I find myself having to put up a front, or being someone that I'm not, and we've always got our kids as a barometer, they'll tell us, we ask them, are we the same with other people than what we are when we're at home? And they'll quickly tell us if we're not. So that's a nice test that you can do. Your kids won't lie. So the only reason why we'd put up a mask is because we've got that old mentality. Because we think we need to be someone that we can't be, we put up a show. And the funniest thing is, you know, sometimes we're not even aware of it. We start relating with God and we say, oh God, I love you so much. But in the meantime, I've treated my children badly or my wife badly, whatever. I think a better way to approach this relationship is, God, I love you. I don't even know some of the things I've done, but I know I've lost my temper with my son this morning. And he'll convict me to go and apologize. And ask him, I do apologize a lot. But the thing is, I don't go there and say, Lord, I've got no mistakes. I've got no problem. Because God doesn't reject us because we are there by grace, not by the works that we've done. And this morning, for those of you who don't know me, I'll lean more towards the grace side. I do believe God deals with our sin. But it's not in a place of us dealing with our sin. It's him dealing with our sins after he's loved us, not before. It's not a condition to be able to approach him or enter into this community. It's something that he deals with us after we trust him and after we enter into his grace. Okay, so can I just put up Galatians 2:20-21? Just something to confirm. I want to confirm this by the word. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. Okay, I hope it's clear enough. We can't earn our right standing. Not when we enter into Christianity, and not, we can't stay in Christianity, we can't remain in this community of grace through works. It's because sometimes I find that in my own life, I entered into this grace when I accepted Jesus' sacrifice for me. But now I'm somehow trying to walk this thing out and looking at my deeds. I'll share a bit more about that in a bit. So how do we remain in this community? We entered by grace and we remain in it by grace. And the biggest thing there is receiving God's love. Because if we can receive his love, he can heal us. He can cleanse us from sin. We can change. We receive his heart. But if we don't receive his love, we can't. There's no way that we'll change because we can't change ourselves. So the first thing that we need to know is every single one of us sitting here received love before we could give it. Every single one of us. That's in the natural. Because when you were born a baby, there's no way you would be alive if someone didn't care for you. Whether you were an orphan or whether you were raised by your own parents, someone gave you love before you could give love. And that's one of the things that we want to sort of almost go against that with God. We try and give him our love and then receive from him. But we need to know that God loves us first. Two scriptures, 1 John 4:19. We love because he loved us first. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why is this important? Because we need to know that even after we've been saved, you are still going to sin. You are not going to become perfect. Yes, God is transforming us through his love, but you are still going to sin. Each and every single one of us are going to sin, and we're still going to need that grace, and we're going to still need his love. And it's not a case that beforehand he would have rejected us, and now after we're Christians, he's going to be more stricter somehow. God's grace is there for us when we've sinned to cleanse us from these things, but we need to be open and trust to him. Jesus is the centerpiece of every community. This first community of grace where we get to have communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus is the centerpiece. He's the one that that paid the price. He's the one that makes it possible through His grace. In our community with one another, Jesus is the centerpiece as well. Now this morning we're gonna have communion after the preach, and it's such a beautiful thing to center us around the sacrifice of Jesus and the acceptance of His grace. Now we don't have communion every week, but we still meet around Jesus every week. And just when I was sort of getting to know this whole church thing, it was always so difficult. People say we meet around Jesus, and I was like, how does it? Like, okay, we talk about Him most of the time, but how do we meet around Jesus when like we're just having a braai? We meet around Jesus because we haven't we use that principle of grace, that His grace is why we're here, and we extend that grace towards one another. Now, if you're in this community and any other community of people who fellowship in Jesus, you'll see that we are not perfect. I'm not going to love you as I should all the time. I'm not even able to love my wife as I should all the time. I try my best, and by her grace, we've been stayed married for 22 years. But we also need the grace amongst one another. If you want to wait till you get a perfect community to love you, you're going to have to wait till heaven. It's not going to happen here. But grace is the face that love wears when it meets imperfection. When we meet imperfection with one another, we put on the face, we get the chance to extend grace. And you know, when we extend grace to one another, we actually are representing God, because He's the one that extended grace to us first. So if you really want to love your brother and sister in our community, then it's when they've sinned against you that you've got the real opportunity to love them. And again, in this relationship, it's the same as the one with Father. We come with honesty. It's not a case of just, we can speak to one another. We can mention those things. You say, listen, this hurt me. And you can apologize. But there's no rejection, because the fact that you're here was never because you'd never sinned and now you get kicked out because you've offended someone. The fact that you are here is because you've been accepted in His body through grace. That's it. That's why we love you. That's why we're part of this body. Now, there's a nice parable that Jesus tells about the how many times shall we forgive one another. And one of the disciples asked Jesus, 7 times? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. He goes, whoa. And then He tells this parable about the king who's had this servant that owed him a lot of money. Now, he owed him, it was 10,000 talents. So it didn't really make sense. I went and Googled it. What's 10,000 talents? A talent was 33 kilograms of weight, and it was gold. That's a talent. And then today's value of a talent would be 33 kilograms times that would be 18.6 million. One talent. One talent's value is 18.6 million. So this servant owed his master 186 billion rand. So for those of you who get a bit confused with the billions and those things, Johan Rupert, which is probably one of the richest guys in South Africa, he's about worth 80 billion. So if he owed him 2.5 times what Johan Rupert is worth, it's a lot of money. Not many of us would have been able to pay that. So I think I'm safe to say none of us here. But I'll leave room for faith. So when he came to this one of his other servants, he actually heard the rumor through his servants. He said, you know what, this guy that you acquitted this morning of 186 billion rand, he went and found one of the other servants that owed him. Now, the other servant owed him 100 denarii. So I looked up what a denarii is. Denarii was a silver coin, weighed 3.24 grams, and it's worth about 50 rand today. So he owed him 100, so he owed him 5,000 rand. So this servant went, he'd just been acquitted of 186 billion rand, and he came to someone else owing 5,000 rand, and he had him sold or put in jail because he couldn't pay his debt. So I think the thing Jesus wants to get across here is that if we think we're the best Christian here, let's say Mike, he's not here, so I can use him as an example. Mike is such a good guy. He walks straight. He owes God more than 186 billion rand if you have to put his debt into rand value. So if he and Mike being a good guy, if he can't forgive, or we can't forgive one another. It's like 186 billion versus 5,000 rand. And that shows us what type of community we need to have. We are so indebted to God for the sacrifice. In fact, we owe him our lives. And that's the reason why we forgive one another, because he has first forgiven us. Amen? Okay, so here's the important one. How do we enter this community? It's through humility. Because grace, by which God gives all of this for free, it says we can't earn grace. Grace is given. But the Bible shows us that we can actually put ourselves in a position where we can not receive grace. The first one is 1 Peter 5:5. It says, in the same way, you are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay? The humble receive grace. James 4:6 says the same thing. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So this is not a fake grace. This is not something that says, oh, I'm so humble, I'm so... Yeah. It's not... It's something that people, you know what it is. But I think one of the nicest definitions that I can think of grace in our context here, grace is simply trusting God and others with myself. That's how I came into, that's how I become to be a Christian. Because the one day I just had to say, Lord, I don't know how this works. I don't understand it, but I submit myself to your word and I believe that. I believe and I trust in you. And I humbled myself under the word, under his grace, and I put myself basically in a position to receive grace. And if we don't walk in this grace, if we don't walk in humility, we actually get to a place where God does not, we actually refute that grace. We put ourselves in a position where God actually starts resisting us. When we trust God and others, we attract grace. Now remember that the thing about humility is, if you look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're interdependent. Father sends the Son. The Son, Holy Spirit testifies about the Son. They're interdependent. I'm sure they could have done it alone. I don't know why God. But God models something for us that we need to model in community. We need to be interdependent. Now, that's not codependency. Codependency is a bad thing, but interdependency. And with interdependency, we don't lose our character. We don't lose the personality we are. God made us to be that. In fact, but when we're interdependent, our personalities and who we are come out to the fullest, because we are covered and we are supplemented by people with different qualities. Look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've got different characteristics, different functions, but the same in value. And just in a similar way, when we are together, we can be ourselves. I can be myself, and I know someone will cover my the things that I don't say or the weaknesses I've had. I see this in my marriage, but I also see it in the community where we're together. I can be open. I can be vulnerable. I can be interdependent, because I know if I stand here by myself and I don't have men or women around me that tells me, Fritz, you know, you missed it there, then I'm going to veer off the path. So part of this humility is taking the Godhead, taking the Trinity's example, and being interdependent amongst one another. It's something that I realized, which I didn't know when I got saved and before I became part of Josh Jen. I actually thought I could walk this thing out by myself. I now absolutely believe that the way in which I grow is dependent on these people sitting in this room or the people that are part of our lives. I definitely can't become what I need to be in Christ without you guys. Absolutely. And I think I believe the same holds true for every single one of you. Whether you're part of this congregation or whether you're going to slot in another congregation, you will not walk in everything that God has for you if you don't walk with fellow believers. And that takes humility. Amen. So one of the things that humility does, it actually lets us believe what God says about us. And when we come into this community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this community of believers, God starts changing our lives. He starts dealing with sin issues. But somehow we we can get to a place where we get to a sin management doctrine, where we try and sin less and then get closer to God. But if you take the two things, sinning less and believing what God says about me, we want to get both. We want to believe and walk into what God says about us. We also want to sin less. But if we focus on our sin and sinning less, we will not achieve our identity of being and believing who God says we are. Because we're going to look at our sins. We're going to be focused on our sin. And I believe as Christians, we said it this morning, so many words, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because if we believe what Jesus says about us, we will sin less. We'll get both. We will believe who we are in Christ, even though we haven't walked in the fullness of that yet. Even if we sin, we believe Christ has given us a nature, and we will walk in it, and we will start sinning less. I've seen that in my own life, and I believe that's what the Bible says. It's pretty much like a caterpillar. You can dissect him, and you can find all the DNA of a butterfly in there. He's going to become a butterfly one day, but he's got everything, and that's what we are. We've got all the DNA of becoming who Jesus says we are. If I can just say, attempting to sin less doesn't guarantee that we will love more, but loving more will guarantee that we'll sin less. So it's where our focus is. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Okay, so that just for me is, when I was a little boy and I went to visit people, I was like a little okie, and they used to want to give me food or whatever. I never used to eat at other people because I didn't want to owe them. I was just like this little, I didn't want to owe you. And I think somehow I've still got a bit of that in my heart. God, I so want to just fix this one issue of mine and just stand before you one day and say, look, I fixed this one by myself. The Bible says, no flesh shall glory in his sight. Not one sin that you can resolve by yourself, not one thing will stand before his throne one day. And I believe that's the thing. It's totally different if I come to Jesus and he changes me, and that's why things change. But in me, there's something that I've got to watch all the time of wanting to do it myself. And that I believe that's the dust that settles over my relationship with God. Now, trusting God with who he says it is have a look at Ephesians 1:3 to I don't know, from verse 3. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That's what God says about me. I am holy, I'm a son of God, I'm accepted in the beloved. That's what God says about me. Humility says, I trust that rather than what I see in my life. And as I trust that, and as I live in humility, I've got access to God. I've got clear open. He starts changing me. I start becoming more that. I start being a better father. I start being a better husband. I start being a better brother to every one of you here. But it's because I start walking and in truth, and say, God, I don't see that I've got this and this, but I've got access to you because you've paid the full price. And I believe that's the message for each one of us, is we need to walk in absolute light, absolute purity, absolute clarity with our Father, and he will change us. And in that way, a similar way, we need to walk with openness amongst ourselves, with grace, until we get there, with extending grace to one another. Now, Just to end off, and I'm finishing with this. I got saved because I humbled myself and I believed what God said about me. But as I walked closer to God, and he started changing things in my life, he added me to a family. And before long, you start looking and think, you know what? I actually pay all my taxes. I've actually got a pretty good marriage. Actually, my kids are actually right. And before I know it, I've got to watch that I don't start looking at my at the life which God has changed and start relying on that to access His presence. I need to go back to the fact that God saved me by grace and I walked with Him by grace every day. And I believe that's a thing for every single one of us here. There's two groups here I believe I want to pray for us. And the one group is so proud that you can't stand before God and you can't say, Lord, I wanna bring something to the party. I don't want to humble myself. If you get the rattles, if someone raises their hands or sits on their knees, it's probably pride manifesting in your life. I know because I've been there. If you don't like to humble yourself and go through the water baptism because you're a grown man, you're going to get your wetsuit in front of a lot of people in the swimming pool, that's pride. God deals with those things. But I want to say, if you think that you're too proud to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you will put yourself in a position where you can't walk in this grace. If you want to say, listen, I've done nothing wrong, I'm going to keep this mask on, that's pride. Be quick to repent, because the fact that you repent, it doesn't mean you're going to get expelled from this community or God's community. It's a place where God can start working in your heart. So that's the one people, the pride. The other one is just the masks. I believe we all love God here, yeah? And some of us have started putting on masks. We want to love Him so much that we don't want to disappoint Him, and we feel we've disappointed Him if we've missed the mark. But I believe God says He loves us. If you trust Him, take off the mask. He can deal with the issues that you're hiding from Him. So with every eye closed, I just want to start praying. And just before I pray, we're going to have communion here after I've prayed. And I want us to, Mo's going to oversee it, but I want us to, like I said, do business with God. The wine and the bread is a symbol of Jesus' body. He's died for us. His body was broken. His blood was spilled for us. That's the grace which He extends to us. It's, you can't earn it yourself. It's through His blood and through His body that was broken for us. And we're going to center around that this morning. And if you've tried adding to the price that Jesus paid, repent of that. Repent of that. Doesn't matter how good your intentions were, but we are saved through His sacrifice. So I want us to have some time together, some time by yourself, just doing business with God while you're doing the communion. And then afterwards, if there's something that you need to extend grace to a brother or sister, please go to them. And even if they're not here, please send them a WhatsApp or just extend grace to them. That's the next thing. And if there's something that you've been hiding, mask, my marriage is not what it should be. I don't know, my finances are in a mess. I've been hiding this. I've just been putting the one foot forward in this community because I'm scared of rejection. I believe God is saying this morning, go and put both feet in. You don't have to confess it before everyone, but find someone that you can trust here. If you don't know someone yet, find someone that you can trust. So I'm going to pray for us, and then Mo's going to do the communion. Lord Jesus, I just thank You. Just thank You for your heart, that You loved us first. Thank You that You paid the full price, Lord, and You loved us so much that You would have come and paid the price for one single person, because You call us sons. And we know what Your Father heart is towards sons and daughters, Lord. You would have paid the full price for a single soul. And Lord, we sometimes it just sounds too good to be true. We can't believe it and we want to add to it. And even this morning, I just want to personally just repent for whenever I've tried to add to Your sacrifice. But Lord, I do want to say that I want to please You, and I want to be in a place where I can receive Your grace. I want to be in a place of humility where I believe what You say about me, and that I can come and if I've missed the mark, just come with no mask in front of You just to confess. And Lord, even this morning, as we take communion, just center us around Your sacrifice again, that we are totally and fully able to come into Your presence. And Lord, even this morning, I just want to extend an invitation. If you've never accepted the grace that God has offered to you, if you've never received it, then I'm going to be here and some of the elders will be here on the side. Come, let us pray with you. I don't want you to stand up now, but if you've always been trying to pay the price and you just see yourself falling again, I can't make the standard. It's because you'll never make the standard. None of us can. Jesus is the standard. And if we accept him and believe what he says about it, you will have eternal life with him. But not only that, you'll have fellowship now and forever. So, with every eye closed, is there anyone like that that wants us to pray with him afterwards? I'm not going to extend that. Okay. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I even pray this morning that you've given us word of dusting off. I just pray for a dusting off, that you can see the gems, the gems which you've made us to be, the ones that shine and reflect your glory, the ones you loved. Lord, the ones that you've paid so dearly for. And Lord, I pray that we will not put ourselves in a position where we can't accept where we don't want to accept that love, where we don't want to trust you enough. Lord, I trust you, and I pray that we will trust you as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
So if I can ask the community leaders, or those that are serving this morning, just to come and help with the communion. So I think the idea is come and grab some juice and a wafer, and then just find a place where you can just deal with, just have a time with God and connect with him. And then after that, I'll pray, and then we'll close the service. Okay. So Father, we just thank you right now as we come to remember. You say, as often as you get together, this is my blood. This is my body that was broken for you. And I pray, Lord, as we remember you, I pray that we'll come as one that has access to your presence because of Jesus. And we have declared, we sang out, you're the one that breaks barriers. And I pray even right now that there will be a receiving of that intimacy as we just remember you and remember what you have done on the cross for us. And that not only did you stay on the cross, but you rose from the dead, and you send it to the heavens, Lord. And we want to remember what you have done for us. And we just thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. We honor you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you can just come to the front, grab some communion, and then find a place, skulk. It's just going to Let's do business with God. Just in closing, just sing this unto the Lord.
You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. We sing it out, yeah. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yeshua. are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy, just the voices. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Yes, Jesus, you are so worthy. From you are all things, and unto you are all things. We receive your love. We receive your love, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you will help us to deal with our pride.